This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. The independent political groups that flourished in this year's presidential campaign may define a new way of playing politics in America. At a conference yesterday, the Washington-based Center for Public Integrity and Utah-based political scientist David Magleby focused on these so-called 527 organizations. They said their success is undeniable and easily imitated. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
There wasn't much that 527 groups didn't do this year. Named for their section in the Internal Revenue Code, the tax-exempt 527s ran slashing attack ads, like those from MoveOn.org and Swiftboat Veterans for Truth. They ran feel-good spots, like one from the Progress for America Voter Fund, which showed President Bush hugging a girl whose mother died in the 9/11 attacks. They worked the phones and went door-to-door, as the Sierra Club and League of Conservation Voters did in Florida's I-4 corridor. And, as David Magleby discovered, they even put up billboards. Magleby said that when he saw an anti-Bush billboard with the slogan, "Don't worry about the federal deficit, your kids will pay for it, not you," he came back and drove past it again to get the name of the group that put it up.
Rednecks for a Better America is funded by Mr. Charles B. Wessler. He's not only the founder of the group, he's better known, perhaps, as the movie producer that brought you Dumb and Dumber, Me, Myself, and Irene, and Stuck on You.
Just one example of the wealthy donors who fueled most of the 527s. Magleby is a political scientist at Brigham Young University. This is the third election in a row that he's organized a comprehensive look at advertising and ground war strategy in battleground states. He says the most provocative 527s put up messages that they knew the candidates couldn't touch, that the Swiftboat veterans attack would have been too hot for the Bush campaign, and the Progress for America 9/11 ad would have been too self-serving.
To the voters, it didn't matter. They understood that it was about electing or defeating those candidates. But it kind of has to do with how you all report and cover it. And I think the Bush campaign was grateful in both cases that those groups got involved.
527s were a force in state politics, too, raising money nationally, spending it locally. Republicans won two state attorney general races doing that. Aaron Pilhofer of the Center for Public Integrity.
If not for the presidential 527s, this probably would have been the story of 04.
But right now, 527s are stuck in a legal nowhere land. They're waiting on new regulations, court cases, and possible congressional action. Meanwhile, Magleby predicts that 527s, or at least their techniques, will continue to play, not just in campaign politics, he says, but in the push to move President Bush's agenda through Congress, say, privatizing Social Security.
If this really matters to the president, I would assume somebody will come along with funds to be able to target specific demographic segments of citizens who would likely support the president's initiative and get them to write letters, make phone calls, and otherwise become engaged.
Already, 527s are becoming an accepted and cash-rich part of the Washington political establishment. In some cases, their strategists are being hired by lobby firms, even as they say the 527s will keep operating. Chuck Lewis, director of the Center for Public Integrity, says that allows consultants to move back and forth ever more easily between campaigning and lobbying.
I think it's incredibly interesting as an anthropological or sociological thing that's going on culturally in Washington. You know, if you're one of these consultants, it's a bonanza.
Because whatever the season, there's always someone in Washington who wants to stir up the voters and is willing to pay for it. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.